The House made it 2-for-2 yesterday by passing another cyber information sharing bill. Lawmakers overwhelmingly supported the National Cybersecurity Protection Advancement Act. Now, on Wednesday, they had approved the Protecting Cyber Networks Act. With the passage by the House and at least initial support from the White House, these two bills are closer to becoming law than any previous attempts to improve public-private cyber information sharing. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with details and analysis. Welcome, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
All right, Jason, so can you start just by going through each of these bills? Just recap a bit some of the major provisions, please.
Sure. The bills in many regards are very similar, but different enough in how they tackle this concept of cyber information sharing. Let me start with the National Cybersecurity Protection Advancement Act, the NCPA Act. This is the one the House approved on Thursday. It calls for the Homeland Security Department's National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, or NCIC, to expand its coverage to tribal governments, but also to lead the federal civilian interface for what they call multi-directional cross-sector sharing of information related to cyber threat indicators, defensive measures, and cybersecurity risks for federal and non-federal entities. What does that really mean? Well, basically, be the hub for the sharing with industry and all those different sectors, whether it's finance or telecom or IT or you name it, electric grid, water. Now, the bill also gives industry liability protections to share cybersecurity threat information with the government. This has been a major sticking point in all the previous bills that Congress has tried to push through on information sharing. H.R. 1731, which is this called, would provide liability protections for companies to conduct network awareness, to share indicators or defensive measures. It also establishes a private, what they call, cause of action that any person may bring against the federal government if a federal agency intentionally or willfully violates restrictions on the use and the protection of voluntarily shared indicators of defensive measures. Meaning if the government leaks the data that hurts the business, the government can be sued. Finally, the bill would exempt from antitrust laws non-federal entities that, for cybersecurity purposes, share cyber threat indicators or defensive measures or assistance relating to prevention and investigation and mitigation of cyber risks or incidents.
So, Jason, this one sounds a lot like what we've heard in past years, right?
Well, there's the similarities is giving the NCIC more authority, more responsibility. The difference is the liability protection.
Okay. So what about the one that passed on Wednesday?
Sure. Now, this is the Protecting Cyber Networks Act. Now, this bill focuses on creating procedures for the intelligence community to share classified and unclassified cyber threat data with the private sector. So within 90 days of this bill becoming law, we're not sure when that is, obviously, but the Director of National Intelligence would have to submit to Congress new procedures for the sharing of this type of data. The bill would also require the President to submit to Congress procedures for the Departments of Commerce, Energy, Homeland Security, Justice, Treasury, and the DNI to receive cyber threat indicators and defensive measures from the private sector to create really a two-way information sharing highway instead of the government just sharing out. They're also, again, can accept it. Now, H.R. 1516 also would codify the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center, the CTIC. Now, Emily, if you remember, this was just launched through an executive order by the White House earlier this year. Now, the CTIC would live in the DNI and make it responsible for ensuring that the appropriate agencies, meaning government, receives all source intelligence support around cyber threat intelligence activities, perform independent alternative analyses, disseminate the cyber threat analysis to the President, to federal agencies, to Congress, and coordinating the federal cyber threat intelligence activities and do strategic planning. There's a lot more in those bills. We have them both linked up on federalnewsradio.com.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So what is significant about the House passing these bills?
Well, the experts that I spoke with said, listen, this took so long. I mean, we've been talking about these type of bills, it feels like for a decade, maybe you know, only 8 years. But still, the fact is that they got it passed, overwhelmingly passed, not easily passed, because the House has passed cyber sharing bills before, but they've been very partisan and not overwhelming. Both these bills received more than 300 votes in the Congress, in the House. And this is very important, there is support from the White House, at least to a greater extent than we've ever seen before. But probably the most important thing here is they've gotten agreement around the provisions for around liability. Now, again, this has stopped previous information sharing bills from really taking that broad hold in Congress and the administration. Bob Dix is the Vice President of Government Affairs and Critical Infrastructure Protection for Juniper Networks.
There is a reasonableness part of this legislation that has addressed some of the concerns that others have had in the past. From a private sector standpoint, an industry standpoint, we need some assurance that if, in fact, we exchange information about vulnerabilities, as an example, if we exchange information about threat indicators, if we exchange information about protective measures, that at the end of the day, that information is not going to be then turned around and used against us. And unfortunately, we have had some experiences in the past where information shared with the government has then been turned around and used in an adversarial way. I think it's a reasonable position that if we're going to exchange in sometimes highly sensitive information that may impact brand awareness, may end up having an impact if it were to become public, that this information needs to be protected, there needs to be liability protection, and there needs to be assurance that it remains confidential.
Now, the liability protections are important to help the government and the private sector create almost an early warning system for possible attacks or threats. Dix compares this idea of an early warning system that really was developed by the National Weather Service and NOAA over the last 50 years to keep communities safe from approaching weather-related storms. He says really the same thing is needed for cyber attacks. Another key provision is broadening the collaboration between industry and government. Dix says earlier bills were too focused only on DHS.
Some companies, and ours is one, have a long and strong relationship with the FBI, as an example. So I think the key is, how do we correlate the data flows? This has been a gap that I think hasn't been addressed by the legislation, and I'm hoping that as we continue to move forward, that we will improve our ability to gather, correlate, analyze the information flows and be able to identify patterns and trends of anomalous or abnormal behavior in order to issue alerts and warnings in a timely manner.
And Jason, remind us, so these bills would not focus just on DHS, they would focus on which agencies?
So that's the key piece here of allowing cyber threat information sharing to come from other agencies, whether it's energy or it's treasury for the financial sector, energy for the electric sector, or even, you know, commerce or interior. The goal here is, yes, to make the NCIC a central clearinghouse, yes, to make the CTIC a central clearinghouse for classified information, but let the other agencies take part in it in a bigger way than before.
All right. So it seems like these bills, if they're not similar, at least they overlap a little bit. What are the chances that both will actually get through the congressional process?
You're right, Emily. In some ways, when you look at the bills on the face value, you go, hey, they look really similar. Why do we have two of the same bills? But I caught up with Tom Kellerman. He's a chief cybersecurity officer for Trend Micro. He says the way the bill delineates the roles of the NCIC and the CTIC actually are complementary.
The DCIC is going to be focused more on national security issues, whereas the NCIC is really going to be focused on economic security issues and security issues that impact critical infrastructures. We have to appreciate that 85% of the critical infrastructures are owned by the private sector, and thus you need a civilian organization like the NCIC and DHS to help us coordinate the protection of that. That being said, we are being attacked in unprecedented fashion from nation states around the world, and we need to truly mobilize our, you know, the DNI as well as the NSA to combat those threats. And we need greater capacity to share information vis-a-vis the threats that are coming out of, let's say, Eastern Europe at this point in time.
Now, Kellerman says both bills also would create a process and approach for information sharing that previously has really been behind the times and has put the government and industry at a disadvantage.
Well, realistically, we have not been able to share information like the hackers have. The reason why we continue to lose in cybersecurity is because the hacker community shares more information than the public and private sectors. And both of these bills allow for a forum, a clearinghouse to be created at the NCIC, a capacity for private sector corporations to contribute to the U.S. government's efforts to essentially civilize cyberspace.
Now, Dick says the bill focused specifically on the NCIC, the National Cybersecurity Protection Advancement Act, also would help move the organization closer to a more matured vision, as he calls it, that includes more industry participation and more international sharing with allies and NATO and other partners. Dick says today only 4 Information Sharing and Analysis Centers, or ISACs, work with the NCIC on a regular basis. He says, listen, the government has to do better to really combat these cyber threats.
All right, Jason, so now the House has batted the ball over to the Senate, and we've heard at least initial support from the White House. Tell us a little bit more about what's likely to happen next.
Well, we know it's far from a done deal. You know, just because there's plenty of bills that get passed by one part of Congress that never gets the light of day in the other part of Congress. But I think this one has a better chance. And I think because the White House voiced some initial support, in statements of administration policy, didn't threaten the veto, that's a positive sign. Now, again, the administration has several concerns about the bill, including the liability protections. Now, in that statement of administration policy, the White House said appropriate liability protections should incentivize good cybersecurity practices and should not grant immunity to a private sector company for failing to act on information it receives about security of its networks. Such a provision would remove incentives for companies to protect their customers' personal information and actually may weaken cybersecurity writ large. The administration believes that a reasonable solution that strikes an appropriate balance can be found. For the Senate, they do have companion bills that are very similar to the House bills, not exactly the same. So some kind of negotiation conference committee would have to happen, obviously, before it can go to the president. But overall, when it comes to information sharing around cybersecurity, the House has passed bills before, but they've never been approved so overwhelmingly and never had this type of initial support again from the White House and Senate. So I think this has the potential, Emily. I won't tell you it's a done deal, but if I'm a betting man, I would say the odds look good.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure.